व्यञ्जको वा यथा लोको व्यङ्ग्यस्याकारतामियात् सर्वार्थव्यञ्जकत्वात् व्यञ्जकत्वाद्धि अर्थाकार प्रदृश्यते I said last class, the previous verse, it was said, the verse actually is from, literally taken from a text called Upadesha Sahasri. And wherein, Musha Siktam Yat, 28th verse, Anuji, I'm just repeating. மூஷா சிக்தம் யதா தாமிரம் தன்னிபம் ஜாயத்தே யதா ரூபாதீன் வியாப்னுவத் சித்தம் தன்னிபம் திருஷ்யத்தே த்ருவம் So here, the mind is like the metal, the melted metal, molten metal. There's a comparison made here. What is compared to what? Mind is likened to a molten metal. And the externally perceived object is like the mold. So the formless, the mind, which actually doesn't have a form, is travels through the sense organs. In what form does the mind travel through the sense organs? Mind travels through the sense organ in the form of a thought modification, vritti. That is how, in the form of thought alone, vritti alone, the mind through the sense organ comes in contact with the object. When the mind in the form of a thought traveling through the sense organ comes in contact with the external object, what happens? The thought itself, mind in the form of a thought, assumes the shape or form of the object. And the mind in the form of a thought assuming the form of an object, you know, is said to be Vishayakara Vrittihi. Vishayakara Vrittihi. When the Vritti is traveling, it is very quick. When the Vritti is traveling towards the object, until the vritti arrives at the object and assumes the form of an object, the thought is a formless thought, an objectless thought. It means nirakara vritti. There's no given form or shape or anything for the vritti because it's yet to reach the object. So until the thought arrives at the object, it is a formless thought, nirakara vritti. Once it arrives at the object, it assumes the form of an object, that is vishaya akara or sakara vritti. So the vritti, the thought, whichever object it comes in contact with, it can be pot or house or whatever it is. See, now ghata akara vrittihi or griha akara vrittihi, watch akara vrittihi, table akara vrittihi, like that, it assumes that given vritti, akara. Means the thought assumes the form or the shape of a corresponding object it comes in contact with. So here, Tamra, in the previous verse I said, I'm just reconnecting the, in order to go to 29th verse, I'm just repeating 28th verse, Raniji. So Tamra, Musha Siktam means here, the copper that is molten metal, the melted copper, when it is poured into the mold, what happens? It assumes the form of the mold. So water, whether it's a copper or any metal, molten metal poured into any given mold assumes the shape or form of the mold. That's what tannibham, I mean, that's the meaning. The metal, which has no specific form, no, assumes the form of the mold. Rupadin vyapnoti. In the same way, the mind also, by itself, without any form, given specific form, when it comes in contact with the object through sense organ, assumes the given form. It can be form, sound form, touch form, smell form, any form. That's why thought is very subtle. Form, the gross form, the gross object, the thought corresponding to a gross object, the thought corresponding to a subtle object, that smell, taste, touch, what form is there? All this taste, all, how will you say what is the form of the taste? Taste is the given form of an object. Therefore, the vritti assumes the form of given object. Okay. Now, we'll read the 29th verse. Is it okay? Okay. Nice to just talk to you one-to-one, Raniji.
So I must say, I find it very odd to hear the vritti being described as it is in the 30th verse of going out, proceeding out to the object. I find that a very strange thing to hear. I can see that reflected light would come in.
Vritti means, what I'm saying, mind coming in contact with the object means, what I'm saying, vritti, you can't say vritti, there's no form there. How the vritti form is what now? Vritti means, even though mind is there as one antahkaranam energy, and the different thoughts rise, that's called vritti. Not a big, vritti means not that going anything. Different thoughts, we have shrotra vritti. See, each vritti, why do we have vritti? One mind doesn't enter into the whole mind, doesn't enter into the only one sense organ. There must be different, like, waves, or that each one can enter into one sense organ. That's inexplicably subtle. But definitely, we need to understand, without the mind being functional, the jagat just disappear, energy. In fact, when the mind is non-functional, the thoughts do not arise, the vrittis are not there, sense organs themselves are non-functional. Sense powers themselves are as good as non-existent. That is why you are asleep. Sense powers are not involved in any perception. So why is eyes do not see, ears do not hear, nose does not smell? Why no taste doesn't take place? Because objects are there, sense powers are there, but still the perception doesn't take place, because what is it really which enables the sense powers function and see? A vritti has to come. Vritti, Mind rising itself, Ranaji. Thoughts rising itself is what? Thoughts rising itself, making the sense powers functional. And when sense powers are functional and they're capable of perceiving, that's what is said actually. There's no real travel or anything. We have to understand that. When it is put together, so it is the sense power, it is the thought which rises alone, which enables the sense organs function, thereby seeing, hearing, etc. is possible. Then there's corresponding cognition of the corresponding object also rises again in the form of a thought. Therefore, vritti, when it is said, it is something very, very inexplicably subtle, Ranaji. We only understand from the standpoint of how mind is functional, how our mind is non-functional. That much we can understand. It's too subtle. Therefore, when the mind is functional, means thoughts are there. Thoughts are there means sense powers are functional. That is when perception takes place. Then the world enjoys existence. Otherwise, the world loses its status of being existent when it is not perceived, for which sense powers are non-functional, because thoughts are not there, because mind is non-functional. This is how we understand. It's inexplicably subtle. And we are more interested in, not even interested in, the process of knowledge. This is how the process of knowledge is described in the Shastra. We are interested in what is that which is much subtler than this mind. What is that which is distinct from the mind also? That is what we are interested in, actually speaking. Because mind does undergo change in the sense, in terms of the states do change. States of mind change. So it's not the same. So we are not interested in now even knowing what the mind is. We are more interested in exactly knowing what is distinct and beyond the mind. What is that without which mind will be non-functional? What enables, what lends existence to the very mind? The so-called inexplicable subtle mind. When it functions, the world exists. When it doesn't function, the world loses its status of being existent. What is that which is beyond the mind? That is what we are interested. So, Upanishad tries to explain to us how the without the mind, external world, external object, all the so-called forms will not exist. And we, it's not just the forms alone which perceive through the eyes. There is a sound form, smell form, taste form. All these fivefold forms, the objects obtaining fivefold forms are known to us. That is the beauty. All of them are known. Known means why they are not known when the mind is non-functional. Why they are known only when the mind is functional. In fact, we understand the mind itself from the standpoint of the world, the objects being known. So, that means that's what is that beyond. That is the interest, isn't it? Therefore, it is said, it is the mind. All these forms, any form, is only manifestation of knowledge. To say that every form, every externally perceived object obtaining in any form is manifestation of knowledge. To say that, Shastram has to say, the knowledge which is manifest in the form of a thought alone assumes the form of an external object in through the sense organ. That is why we always study in the very beginning, the existence of any object presupposes the corresponding cognition in the mind. We said all that. Anyway, this is, and here the grossest example is given, that like molten metal poured into a given mold has the form of the mold. Like that means grossest example to understand something inexplicably subtlest thought. Okay. In fact, Raniji, Pujya Swamiji always likes to quote this Dakshinamurti Stotram in this context. You know, this Nana Chidra Ghatodarasthita Mahadeepa Prabhabhaswaram Jnanam Yasyatu Chakshuradhikarana Dwara Bahispandate. So there, Nana Chidra Ghata Udarasthita Mahadeepa Prabhabhaswaram, the effulgence of a huge lamp placed, located within a pot, having different holes, and the actually flame is inside. The light of that one flame, you know, goes, travels through all five holes and illumines the objects around, isn't it? Whichever the light, and the ray of light, the rays are different, but the source of ray is same, isn't it? The ray of light going through any given hole illumines the object near that particular hole. That's the best example. We don't forget about the mind itself now. Because that's what goes out and just manifest knowledge, you see. Consciousness, knowledge is everywhere, it is there. The manifest knowledge alone illumines. The pure knowledge doesn't illumine. Without the pure knowledge, there cannot be manifestation. But pure knowledge by itself does not illumine. It is the manifest knowledge which illumines.
Vyanjako va yatha loko vyangyasya karatamiyat sarvartha vyanjakatvat sarvartha vyanjakatvadhi. Sarvartha vyanjakatvadhi arthakara pradrishyate.
Again, Anji, this verse, even though Panchadeshi comes as a part of Panchadeshi, it is actually a verse from Upadesha Sahasri only. If you see this meaning, the word Vyanjakaha, see the first word? Vyanjakaha. Vyanjakaha va yatha alokaha. You break that, yatha alokaha. Yatha alokaha. Vyanjakaha alokaha. Means the light which brings objects to light. Vyanjaka Ranaji illumining. Manifest light. Manifest light or illumining light. Revealing light is called Vyanjaka Aloka. Alokaha means light. The word Alokaha means light, and Vyanjakaha Alokaha means adjective for Aloka. The light which illumines is called Vyanjaka Aloka. So revealing light, illumining light, is Vyanjaka Alokaha. Vyanjakaha Alokaha Yatha Vyangyasya Akaratam Yat. Vyangya means illumined object. So Vyanjakaha illumining. Vyanjaka Alokaha, the light which illumines. Vyangya means illumined object. So Vyangyasya Akaratam Iyat. Akarata means form. So the illumining, revealing light takes the or assumes the form of an illumined object. Vyangasya akaratam iyat means illumining light assumes the form of the illumined object. And to assume the form of an illumined object, what effort does the light make? What changes undergo? No. Without undergoing any change, the light which illumines a given object assumes the form of the illumined object. I think this is a better example, isn't it? Than the molten metal. Tatha, yatha means just as. So just as the light which illumines a given object assumes the form of the illumined object and effortlessly without any change or whatsoever. Similarly, sarva artha vyanjakatvat dihi arthakaraha pradishyate. Similarly, now sarvartha vyanjakam, the mind, Raniji, mind has the status of being the illuminator of all the objects. See now, sarvartha vyanjakatvam means, sarvartha means all the objects. Vyanjakatvam means having the status. So mind enjoys the status of being the illuminator of all the objects perceived through all the five sense organs. Tell me, which is the other illuminator energy? The entire world of objects can be reduced to five different objects obtaining in five different forms. And this objective world of fivefold objects, you know, perceptible through five sense organs are illumined by only one mind, isn't it? Therefore, mind has the status of being the illuminator of all the objects. Sarvartha means all the objects. Sarvartha vyanjakatvam, mind has sarvartha vyanjakatvam. Mind has sarvartha vyanjakatvam means what? Mind has this status of being the illuminator of all the objects. And he says, sarvartha vyanjakatvat, due to its status of being the illuminator of all the objects, who? Dhihi. See that word dhihi, Ranaji. Dhihi means mind. Dhihi, the mind, the antahkaranam, because of its, due to its status of being the illuminator of all the objects, arthakaraha pradishyate. The mind assumes the forms of the relevant objects. What does it mean? Without undergoing any change. Okay. Mind doesn't undergo, like just the example is very clean example, Ranaji. Light doesn't undergo any change to become an object, to assume the form of an object. Similarly, mind also assumes the form of an object. Yes, so what is conveyed here, Ranaji? Arthakaraha pradishyate means mind assumes the form of the objects. What is conveyed here is every individual has one's own privatized world, one's own internal private world. In fact, all the time, every individual interacts with the internal privatized world, private world. And the individual's response also is always to that internalized or internal private world. So every individual has one's own internal private world of one's own self, world of one's own self. And every individual is in always the interaction also with this, with that internal private world. And the response also to that in a world only. What is in your mind is not in my mind. It's very interesting to know what is in your internal private mind. It means your mind has perceived something and assumed that form. In your world of objects, something is there. It is not in my mind. Then what happens? I do not respond to that. Whereas you respond. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why some people are worried all the time. Sad. Because I really like it, Ranaji. Very nice to know this. You know, your response in terms of worry or sadness or grief or joy or pleasure or pain, that response, what experience in response to what is there, what is interacted with, is different. Amazing. That is why some people are very gloomy, because the object, the internal world is different from mine. If it is the same, Ranaji, what happens? All of us will be of the same moods. If I am moody and then grumpy, and then you will be grumpy and moody, and everybody will be grumpy and moody. And I am I'm giggling and then smiling and laughing, and then everybody will be smiling. Isn't it? Maybe then we wouldn't have complained, I think. They would have been like programmed people, like animals. Amazing. This is interesting, isn't it? This is a nice fact, Ranaji, subtle fact. Isn't it true? Yes.
I still find it baffling. The text seems to be saying that the individual mind is completely unique. Because the thoughts, as you say, are different from one person to another. But where do these thoughts arise? Are they arising between the physical body, let's say, and the object seen? Is that where the riti is forming? This is the question I have. Where is the riti actually taking place? Where is the limit of the mind? The mind does not seem to be stuck with the body. It seems to go beyond the body, if that's the case.
That is that energy. That is the thing. What I'm saying. See, the problem is you want to see the mind like how you want. You are seeing the body.
Yeah.
It will never happen, energy. Because it'll never happen. Because mind is behind the sense organs. But his body is in front of sense organs.
Yes, yes. There's a wonderful quotation I've never, ever forgotten. I read somewhere in a book many years ago. There's a yogi sitting on the edge of a round pond. The kind of pond you see, a well. And the well had a wall to it. And it was a circular well, of course. And he was sitting cross-legged on this circular wall. But he only had one knee on the wall. The other knee was being suspended in midair. And this Westerner came up to him and said, "How do you do this? How do you manage this yogic power you've got? What is it?" And the yogi's answer was, "All the body is in the mind, but not all the mind is in the body." Which was an answer I've never forgotten and never really understood. But this is giving me a hint of what might be meant by it. The body is contained in the mind. In other words, so much, all that is really here is the mind, and the body is as much an object of the mind as the things that are perceived externally. All of it is within the mind.
Raniji, Swamiji said beautifully, see, it's all here. What big world outside? What big world outside? It's all here. He just says the mind. He's not here, but not here.
He's skull in the mind, yes. Yeah. That makes much more sense. To say the mind is coextensive with the object perceived, it makes much more sense. I like that. Coextensive with the objects perceived.
See, we should not literally take it as traveling and all those things.
No. Yeah, that makes much more sense. Okay, thank you. That's good.
So, we never respond to something which is not internally perceived, which is not there as my private object. So, this objective universe, which is Ishvara Srishtihi, so we do experience this external world, which is Ishvara Srishti, Bhagavan Srishti. But this universe, externally existent universe, XM is relatively external, enters into the mind. How? Through the sense organs. So mind enters, but not physically entering energy. Isn't it? The world enters into the mind through perception, through sense organs. Then there is an image of this world is formed. That's why we, you know, like the, we say, my face enters into the mirror and there forms a reflection of my face. Like that here, the world enters into the mind and there is the world image of the world is created, formed. And that internally, that the world just entered inside, which has become now internal, private world, what now? Gets mixed with the subjective colors. Which means our own personal issues get mixed with the world. My subjectivity, or one's individual subjectivity, makes the world look different. Get mixed up. And this image of the world obtaining in the private mind as a private world, mixed with one's emotions, one's subjectivity, alone becomes, is called Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. So Vidyayana Swami says, the external world is beautiful, which is Ishvara Srishtam. When the manifest light in the your mind itself is manifest light energy, you can call mind a manifestation of light, manifestation of knowledge. So this knowledge in the form, manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of mind, in form of thoughts, illumine the external world of objects, and external world of objects through sense organs as though enter into the mind, and there is an image of that world created, formed, and that image mixed with one's own subjectivity or one's own personal emotions looks different. And that differently looking world is internally obtaining privatized world is Jiva Srishti Dvaitam. It is not just the world projected by the mind, It is the world which is perceived. See, the dream is projected world, Ranaji. Whereas waking universe is perceived world. The projected world and there's a perceived world. Because without sense organs, the world is projected by the thoughts. That in terms of dream, that is projected world. But the external world is not projected world. It's a perceived world. The perceived world, when it becomes, the image of the perceived world is mixed with the one's own individual subjectivity or one's own emotions, problems, then is the jiva srishti, the duality created by the jiva, individual. Therefore, the manifest knowledge in the form of mind is mind is light, the light of knowledge in the form of mind, illumining the external world, assumes the form of a given object. All these form, sound, smell, touch, everything, energy, every object is nothing but illumination of the manifestation of knowledge called mind. So mind has that status. Sarvartha vyanjakatvam, the mind has. Now, not only external objects are energy, even the internally perceived emotions, the formless, inexplicably subtle, like pain, pleasure, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, they're also objects of perception, but not external. They're not perceived through sense organs, but they're available for thought perception. Even they are also actually manifestations of knowledge. They're also illumined by thoughts only. It is the thought light in the form of a thought. I can say if manifest knowledge, manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in the form of a thought is a light which illumines every object. So not only externally perceived objects, even the internally obtaining subtle objects of perception, thoughts. Certain objects are thoughts only. Even those thoughts are illumined by what? Thought light only. Amazing, isn't it? Which means there's no object which exists outside of the light of thought. You can simply say, Ranaji, mind is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. We say mind is a manifesting medium initially. Why? Because that's how knowledge becomes recognizable. Suppose when the wave doesn't rise, energy, water is not recognizable. When the wave rises, the wave form becomes a medium through which water becomes recognized. Like that. So mind becomes manifesting medium, we say, but mind itself is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, it is this manifest knowledge obtaining in our mind alone is the light which illumines all the objects. Not only the external objects, also the objects in the form of in the thoughts. Like emotions, fear, anger, hatred, likes and dislikes, etc.
What then are the objects? The objects that I perceive, like this computer, this table, this window. What exactly are these objects?
Every object is knowledge.
Yes.
Relatively, you can say light.
Every opaque is light, you can say, Raniji. But relatively, absolutely, every object is awareness.
But these objects that I perceive, I can touch and see and taste and so on, they're all within the Ishvara Srishti.
Yeah.
But my subjective response to them, of course, becomes the Jiva Srishti. But prior to the subjective response, there is the Ishvara Srishti with which my mind interacts.
Radhaji, there is nothing here is Jiva Srishti, Radhaji. Everything is Ishvara Srishti only.
Ah.
There is no Jiva Srishti at all. Jiva Srishti is the suffering. You know, whatever is added or reduced, addition and reduction of what is, addition to and reduction of what is individual's projection, and which results in suffering, is Jiva Srishti.
Okay. Yeah. So in other words, the subjective response.
It was made very clear in the Grishi Vivek, remember?
Yeah.
Not Vidyana Swami's own text.
Maturmanabhinishpatihi nishpannam meyameti tat meyabhisangatam tacha meyabhattam prapadhyate. Maturmanabhinishpatihi nishpannam meyameti tat meyabhisangatam tacha meyabhattvam prapadyate. Matuhu mana abhinishpatihi bhavati. Manabhinishpatihi bhavati.
So in this verse, see, Vidyayana Swami Radhaji, mostly he takes very nice verses from other texts. So previously quoted verses, actually what he presented as his own verses are actually from Upadesha Sahasri. Now this is actually from Manasollasa. Manasollasa is actually name of a Vartikam, a brief commentary written by Sureshwaracharya. And this is called Vartikam. Vartikam is a brief commentary. And here, Sureshwacharya's Vartikam on, commentary on Dakshinamurti Stotram was given a name, Manasollasa. And so this particular verse, Vidyayana Swami has literally, has taken from Manasollasa. Here, Mata in this context means Anuji Pramata, knower. Manam means instrument of knowledge. So, Pramata, Matahu means the knower, Pramata. Manam means Pramanam, the instrument of knowledge. Abhinishpatihi. Matuhu mana abhinishpatihi. See, what Vedanta states is, if a sense organ, if the sense organs are functional, then the mind, the internal instrument of knowledge, in the form of thoughts, illumines the sense organs, then through the sense organs, illumines the external world. So which means, what does it mean? The mind is manifestation of knowledge, which means there's a source of manifestation which is distinct from the mind also, and not distant but distinct. But this manifestation, manifest knowledge in the form of mind, again in the form of thoughts through the sense or illumine the sense organs, sense powers, through sense powers illumine the external world of object. That's why mind is said to be the relative illuminator of the world. And here the source of manifestation, the pure knowledge or consciousness, is said to be, in fact, the absolute illuminator of everything is the consciousness. We never say consciousness is the illuminator, because from the standpoint of consciousness, there's no act of illumining. It is Swarupa. Therefore, from the standpoint of the mind, we say the absolute illuminator is consciousness, the source of manifestation. From the standpoint of the external world, we say the relatively illuminator is mind. So, if you see how it is understood in science, today's science, In science, they say the rays of light travels through sense organs. So Vedanta states it is the manifest knowledge in the form of mind travels through sense organs. And each the vritti, each thought which is mind, each thought, all the thoughts are mind only. So each thought of the mind associated with the given sense power is given different name, as chakshur vrittihi, shrotra vrittihi, grana vrittihi, or netra vrittihi, no, rasana vrittihi. So all, that's why five different vrittis, five different thought modifications, all of them are actually mind. Grana vritti is mind, srotra vritti is mind, netra vritti is mind. All the vrittis are mind only. Like all the waves are ocean, all the vrittis are mind. So, because of these vrittis, when the sense powers become functional and they are open, then five-fold thought modifications known as vrittis through the sense powers seemingly go to the approach the objects. So the focus must be on a given object. So unless and until the vritti comes in contact with the object, no form is assumed. Which means there's no cognition of any given specific object. And the vritti is what? As I always said, it's a nirakara vritti. But nirakara vrittis, but they come to the sense powers, means they call pramana vrittis. It is the thought modification which alone enabling the sense power function is called pramana vrittihi. And the same vritti enabling sense power function as a pramana vritti goes through the sense power and assumes the form of another object also, it becomes sakara vritti or vishayakara vritti. Now you see, Radhaji, we understand three words now. First vritti, empty vritti, okay? Then nirakara vritti. Then it becomes pramana vritti. Then it becomes sakara vritti or vishayakara vritti. Now, so where do these vrittis which constitute the mind rise? Where do these vrittis which constitute the antahkaranam, the mind, rise from? It is all these vrittis which constitute the antahkaranam arise from the pramata, pramatuhu, from the pramata alone, the knower. There's no vritti rises outside of pramata only, from the knower only. It's very interesting here when you really had to see the energy, understand this. So all the fivefold thought modifications known as vrittis, which constitute the antahkaranam, actually rise from, originate from the pramata, which means there is no source of origination otherwise, other than the pramata knower. So they originate from the pramata, then they travel through the sense organs and illumine the objects and assume the form of an object. That is why we say the mind in the form of a thought really supports the sense power. So in every corresponding respective thought, illumines the respective sense power. And through that respective sense power, that respective thought illumines the respective object. Whether it's a sound or smell or taste or form or color, light, whatever it is. So the attention of the mind is focused on a given object. The total attention of the mind is focused on a given object. Other objects, even though the vrittis are there, and even the vrittis do reach the object also, still other objects are as good as non-existent. Which means the other objects which are not focused do not get registered. Which means the vritti must come in contact with the object. The vrittis, the pramana vrittis may be there, but pramana vrittis do not really become, do not reach the object and become the vishyakara vritti, then there is no, that object is still non-existent for us. Because that object is still covered in darkness. It's exactly like an unillumined object which remains covered in darkness is as good as non-existent. So the externally obtaining object which is not illumined by the corresponding vritti thought is as good as non-existent. So, first we have vritti, the vritti, nirakara vritti, then becomes a pramana vritti, and the attention is focused on one given object, then the vritti remains pramana vritti, doesn't become vishayakara vritti. If it doesn't become Vishyakara Vritti, then there's no knowledge of that particular object, which means that object is still unknown, is as good as non-existent. So Vishyakara Vritti again becomes what? Pramana Vritti, which means then it becomes instrument of knowledge.
In the next verse, he talked about the material component. In the perception of an object, such as a pot, there are two components, one material and the other mental. The material component is perceived by the mind, whereas the mental component is perceived by the witness. This seems to be just saying what you just said, that the Vritti takes the form of the object.
Yeah.
It does so. It is simply countable as a mental Vritti.
Mm.
All of which has its foundation in the Sakshi.
Yeah.
Because it's all a modification of consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Nishpannam, when you say, in the beginning we see, Nishpannam meyameti tat means what? The vrittis rise, originate from the pramata, and then those vrittis together form the mind, which is actually, which becomes the pramanam, instrument of knowledge. And then, through the sense powers, illumine the external world. But that, those vrittis then reach the mayam. Mayam means object. Assumes the form. Suppose it doesn't reach the object, Ranaji, then it's what? Nirakara vritti. No form for it. And that object, suppose even though the vritti has become pramana vritti, because it has as a shrotra vritti, there's a netra vritti, but your attention is in rasana vritti. Suppose your attention is, you're focused on the object, the tongue, then what happens? The pramana vrittis are there and the other objects do not become illumined. So meya abhisangatam means the vritti which has arrived at the object, which is in contact with the object, the prameyam. Then meya abhatvam prapadyate means the vritti attains, the vritti assumes the, it has the form of the object. One assumes the form of an object is akara vritti, then the cognition is there. The cognition again is called what? Pramana vrittihi. Pramana vritti means there's a knowledge, cognition, the knowledge of the given object. Okay, this is, for example, the vritti rises and the vritti through the sense power of seeing, and then it illumines the pot object outside. It's a sakara vritti called pot vritti. Then there is the knowledge, oh, there is a pot. That cognition is called again what? Pramana vritti. As instrument of, the vritti serves as an instrument of knowledge of what is. Which means there's a pramata all the time, knowing, seeing what is happening. And there is the same vritti also produces pramatra vritti. What is that? I am the knower. I am the knower. The knower is there, but I am the knower. That vritti also what now? Pramatra vritti. So, okay, if you take this traditional example of this rope and snake, suppose if there is even the real snake is covered in darkness, then there is no snake. Suppose the rope is in there's a rope covered in darkness or dimness, dim light, then
the vritti goes, vritti comes out, vritti rises, and through the sense power of seeing, and it approaches, it comes in contact with the rope. But what happens, it is mixed in the dimness of light. But there, that vritti, it's what now, mixed with, or I suppose it's changed into a sarpa vritti. Actually, rope, supposed to be rope vritti. Rope vritti, there's no rope vritti, goes the rope, but the vritti is what? Sarpa vritti. And that sarpa vritti is because of what? Adhyasa. And same that vritti goes back to the mind. There is what? There is a, we have created the snake. It means there is a, not we, even not we, there's a creation of snake. Production of rogue snake. A snake is generated. And then that results in fear. So actually, the rope does not cause the fear. It is the sarpa vritti generated alone creates the fear. And actually, even if the snake is energy, where is the snake? It's only outside. It is not, even if the real snake is there, it's only outside. It should not cause any fear. But even though the object is the snake or the rope, it is external, absolutely external object. But the fear, how can it cause fear? The fear is caused by the snake vritti, which is newly generated, and which is actually in our private world, private taste world, the world in your mind. Therefore, what is clear is, actually we do not, what is experienced is not what is in the external world. What is experienced is not what actually is in the world. We do experience what is in the world also, but sometimes we do not experience what is externally perceived.
Yeah, this is a very strong component of subjective interpretation. Very strong. I'm now looking at this carpet here now, and it's not just a carpet. It is my carpet.
Yeah.
When I bought it, it's got this particular state it's in, which is very much my subjective response to the carpet.
Yes. So, what we experience is exactly what is in our private world, obtaining within our mind, not actually what is in the world outside.
Yeah, yes, but the question then arises in my mind, what on earth is it? What exactly is the carpet to which I have such a subjective response? It must be part of the jiva, of the Ishvara Srishti.
Of course it is. Ranaji, to finally say everything is Ishvara Srishti only, Ranaji.
Okay. But look, it is put there by karma. Does it mean that?
No. That is where, Ranaji, Ishvara Srishti again becomes Jiva Srishti in a different level, purely because of not seeing what actually is.
Yes, but I'm...
Karma, everything, all of them can be reduced to one word, Ajnanam, Adhyasa. And that can be further reduced to one word, Ajnanam.
Okay, but all right, that may be so. But what I'm interested in right this moment is, what exactly is this this carpet, this table. What are they? What exactly is this? Because I'm thinking, of course, I'm living in this, I happen to be in this room, and you happen to be in that room.
My strong paradha brought me all the way from India, Coimbatore to Kapadia, especially Kapadia's house.
Yes, true. But the point
how
is...
How can they wonder expected this no connection Sanji, or whatsoever?
Sanji, look, you are experiencing a different environment to me.
Yeah.
When you look on the floor, you see a different carpet to the one I see. What is it that's produced that difference in the carpet? It is karma. It is your prarabdha karma, which has produced it, just as my prarabdha karma, as you could say, has produced it.
There's external energy. That is external. It goes with the punya papa.
It is put there by law, is it not? It is put there by dharma.
Of course, Raniji. Finally, everything is endued to Ishvara in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order.
Yes. But it is just, there is such a strong correlation, much richer than I previously had thought till a moment ago, between Prarabdha and the...
You convert that word Prarabdha into Ishvara's order.
Yes.
Then only Ishvara.
Yes.
So Ishvara, the order, of course, this Ishvara's order energy. There again, nothing outside of the order, isn't it?
But
make the order also relative.
Yeah. it seems the order is much more fluid than I previously appreciated. Because it
the
is...
The more upset order, the more, much more joy you'll discover.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's really nice.
Otherwise, how will you will be talking to me this time of the day? I'll be talking to you with this time of the day. There is strong bond energy. It wouldn't happen otherwise. Amazing.
Really, really interesting. I don't know that I'm getting across what I'm trying to say, but here is this carpet, which is being somehow put here. God knows how. And which I happen to be experiencing. And the carpet that is sitting on the floor in your room, which is obviously very different, dozens of miles away, we're both capable of perceiving our respective carpets, and they're put there essentially as a result of the manifestation of an order, which is manifesting to us as Prarabdha. It is so much more tenuous, so much more less tangible than I thought. It is really amazing. What exactly is real here? It is that's a stunning question. It really is.
Other than you, nothing is real here, Anuji.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
That is what is the fact. That is what Anuji, the previous verse showed us. Where do these vrittis come from? What is the source of origination of the vrittis? Pramata.
Yeah, the knower, yes.
And who is the Pramata?
I am.
Who are you? Tosh. Brahma. Okay, Anuji, I'm just going to go now.
Yeah.
I had to go and have my nice tea with sugar. I shouldn't have had that, Anuji. I had tea in the morning.
Very good. I find this so interesting. I could be thinking about this for the rest of the day. I really am. How on earth can I make sense of this creation?
There's no creation other than yourself.
Manifestation, then. It is just amazing. Just amazing.
Raniji, you have to reduce the word mind into manifest knowledge. There's no mind other than manifest knowledge, Raniji. You know, mind is a name given to the manifest knowledge.
Yes. Okay. That too I shall be thinking about.
So we did talk about, so we give a different name. Really speaking, there's no ஓம் பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹ. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.